on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. Also brought to you by Fenley Chevrolet is your home for woo! Located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and Steve Cofield.
We are back at Bailiwick, here inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. The Runnin' Rebels 3-0 in Mountain West Conference play for the first time in their history. And in first place in the Mountain West Conference, getting ready after the bye this weekend, getting ready for a trip to Colorado Springs and a game at Clune Arena against the Air Force. And, you know, we always describe that as like going to the dentist without Novocaine. It is just a tough place to play and a tough style to play against, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Different show for you today, just for a variety of reasons. Number one, Coach Menzies is a little bit under the weather, and he's not able to make it. He's taking advantage of the bye. He's going to be doing some recruiting and traveling, and he's not feeling well, so he's trying to get some rest before he goes on a recruiting trip, and he will not make it tonight. But we do have some pretty good substitutes for you. We've got Preston Laird, who was, according to Coach Menzies, the architect of the game plan that got the Rebels the victory down in Albuquerque the other night. And then we'll also visit with a young man who has just exploded on the scene here for the Runner Rebels. Joel Tomboy will join us in just a little while. Talk about a lot of things. Talk, obviously, a lot about the game on Saturday down in New Mexico. Talk about some recruiting things with Coach Laird. And then look forward and down the road a little bit. Maybe try to temper the some of the elation with the Runnin' Rebels, but not too much. But just try to talk about how long a season it is. I'm John Sandler. Robert Smith is here. Preston Laird is here. Robert, for a lot of reasons, winning a game down there in that atmosphere with those fans is just a little bit sweeter.
It means a lot, man, because those fans are ecstatic when it comes to, you know, wanting their team to win, and they'll do and say just about anything. But when you can get a win in the pit, it's nice.
It really is, and it was a big question mark going into that game.
Yeah,
and we'll bring Preston in, Coach Preston Laird, joining us as well. Big question mark going into that game. I mean, you've got so many kids on this team who have never experienced anything close to that, with 11,000 people in a building that's designed kind of to make it as loud as possible. First road conference game, a lot of things working against it, and you're wondering how's the team going to react. And frankly, I was so almost overwhelmed with the way they just stepped up and answered every challenge and every obstacle put in front of them, from the crowd to the elevation to the environment, what have you. What a performance by the guys, especially the youngsters.
Yeah, John, no, it was great. I think there's two things that really come to mind when you think about going in an environment like that. One is, who's your leader? And I think Coach Menzies has a disposition built for those type of environments. He has a saying that he talks about, don't get too high with the highs, don't get too low with the lows. So he really knows how to kind of temper the team's mood, and he's got a good pulse on the guys and figuring out what they need to hear going into an environment like that. And the second thing is these guys are competitors. They love to compete. Most of them have been in hostile environments before, whether it's in high school basketball or summer basketball. When they go into a place like that, it gets the juices flowing. It gets them excited. And when you get excited, you really embrace those moments instead of shying away from them.
First half of that game, I know you had the scout. You were the guy who kind of orchestrated the game plan. And the Rebels hung in there, but, you know, New Mexico was kind of getting its way. Rebels had a little trouble with their bigs. They've got a couple of transfer bigs who are really, really talented offensively. And they were posing a problem for the Runnin' Rebels. I made the comment against that zone that was extended so far out. The Rebels really miss Shakur. Joel is learning how to play against the zone, and he obviously is doing such a great job with this recent scoring outburst. But Shakur is such a steady guy against that 2-3 zone at the foul line, whether he's catching and shooting or whether he's catching and then distributing the basketball. What was the plan going in against New Mexico, and how did things go, in your opinion, in the first half?
Sure. Well, let me first start by saying this. You know, Coach Menzies assigns scouts to the staff. He assigns scouts to the staff. But we all collaborate. We all work together. We meet regularly, daily. We talk about strategies. We talk about plans. So it's good to hear that Coach was happy with the game plan, but ultimately the buck stops with him, and he makes the decisions, and he goes out and executes and presents. So appreciate that. We play them in 2 weeks. Don't want to talk too much about it.
I understand.
But we will. I'll talk a little bit. You know, they did hurt us in the first half. They had 42 points, but it wasn't so much of them hurting us defensively in the strategies or the areas that we were trying to focus on. They were hurting us in transition. They were hurting us on the offensive glass. You know, the first from the jump, they had a tip. They hit a three. They got a steal against us in the half. Mathis hit a three. There's two of their three threes in the first half that kind of were broken plays or errors more on our part that we control. So there's 6 points right there. Instead of 42, you're looking at 36. Second chance points, they had 7 in the first half. They had 9 in transition. In the second half, they had 2 on the offensive glass, and they had 2 in transition. So there's a big swing for us in terms of holding them to 27 points in the second half. So we did tweak a little bit. We talked about how we wanted to guard the cross screen, the high-low action a little bit, just kind of refine some things there. But ultimately, it was just raising the bar for the defensive categories in terms of what we do, which is block out and stop teams in transition.
What was the message? What were the adjustments, again, without getting into specifics, at halftime that allowed you to dominate the second half the way you did?
Well, again, we just demanded more with the transition defense. The shot selection against the zone, you know, they call it transition because you're transitioning from offense to defense. So that's the one area of the game where your offense really has an impact on your transition defense. Shot selection and turnover. So like I said, the turnover that led to the Mathis three, there were some bad shots there that led to some breakouts on the other end. So just raising the bar in that area, and the guys responded and they executed really, really well. They were disciplined. And then just making sure we were boxing out, especially with the foul trouble we had and then not having Mbaké. They really excelled there and held them to 2 second chance points.
Real quick, any update that you can give us on Mbaké and his situation? Yeah. It looked really scary. It was great to see that he was able to put weight on it. Obviously, he couldn't come back into the game. But any diagnosis and any news?
Yeah, no, I think the training staff is handling most of that stuff. Mbaké's spirits were good today. I think they're going to go to the doctor and get some MRIs and just do some precautionary stuff, make sure there's nothing crazy that none of us, you know, we don't have x-ray vision, we can't look into his leg. But, you know, he's on the right protocol right now. We got a great training staff, great doctor, so he should be fine.
Basically a sprained ankle? I mean, without getting into diagnosis?
Yeah. I would say something like that. Right. How severe, you know, depends. I mean, sprained ankles could, you know, vary.
Yeah.
But but he should be fine.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
You know what impressed me about the game the other night was the starters, they didn't let too many things bother them in the game. You know, even when New Mexico went on a few runs or whatever, they kind of made it up and didn't really get rattled by it. The other thing was I thought Noah did a great job of just staying in front of Mathis and you know, making his game hard. And then the third thing was the bench and how they came in. And, you know, for some guys, they probably – if you look at the stats, you probably say, well, they really didn't do anything, but they stayed steady. They kept the team steady while they were there. So I was very impressed by the bench play.
Yeah, so your first point, I think that's kind of some experience that we've had this year.
Uh-huh.
We've been in some close games. We've been from playing from behind in some close games where you had to get back and take the lead. And
right.
So they had confidence and they had faith in themselves that they just kept plugging away and kept plugging away and kept plugging away. One of our core values is grind, you know, just kept grinding it out every single possession, that it would pay off in the end, and it did. To your second point, Noah was phenomenal on both sides of the ball. He did exactly what we wanted him to do offensively. He did exactly what we wanted him to do defensively.
Right.
I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for the team. The third point, Coach talks a lot about the bench in hostile environments.
Right.
Body language, just spirits. Like he likes to say, we play for the silent cheers, you know, which is very true in that sense. But it's just us in that building. You know, I had a few fans. We got you guys, but for the most part, it's just us in that building.
Yep.
We got a text. I think Coach LaFleur got a text from a coaching friend back home and was watching the game or something, and he talked about the body language of the bench. So,
right,
you know,
right.
that you noticed that too. It's, yep. it's very accurate. Yep. Like, the body language of the bench was really good, and, you know, it was a good victory.
Yeah, you know, Noah, not to cut you off, John, but Noah told me a little story after the game about how him and Mathis met up in high school, and Mathis was talking a bunch of
that.
Stuff. Yeah, and
yeah.
he said, Noah said, you know, I shut him down then, and I couldn't wait to play him this time. And he did a good job of shutting him down. He made Mathis take a lot of bad shots.
He did.
And he said he just wanted to stay in front of him and make his game hard.
I think that was Noah's most complete game.
It was.
No doubt.
As a
Absolutely.
Weapon.
His most complete game. And just the line talks about it. 14 points, 8 assists, just 1 turnover, 2 steals, including that huge steal
right.
in the final minute of the game. And he held Mathis, who is a tremendous offensive player.
He is.
And probably the best outside shooter in the league, if not one of the 2 or 3 best,
mm-hmm.
To 2-for-10 from 3 and 3 yeah. for 14 overall. Frustrated him.
Yeah.
And, Robert, you said he stayed in front of him. He didn't stay in front of him. He was in his jersey.
I mean, he was breathing.
Him.
If he'd breathe out, Noah would breathe in.
No doubt about it. You know, Chris Clyburn, he had a big dunk that, you know, off a steal from Noah.
Yep.
When Noah went flying through the air at midcourt and threw the pass kind of over his head.
Yeah, yeah.
And Clyburn went in for the dunk.
Yep.
And then, he had the huge 3.
Yep.
And I'm hoping Jared has this for us and we can hear it coming out of the next break. But that's about the quietest 25-point performance that I've seen. And it, you know, when we got the post-game stats, you know, you're following along during the game, and Chris is having a really good game. And you look down and you go, 25? I mean, 8 for 13 from the field, 7 of 7 from the line, 2 of 2 from 3. He's having the kind of senior season that we all hoped he'd have.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, kind of blossoming,
steady,
maturing, but consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the big word right there with Chris is just maturing.
Yeah,
and you know he's a guy who came in right with us in that first class, mm-hmm. but he's kind of a product of what we're hoping to develop here in terms of, you know, 3-year guy, been in
right.
the program. When he gets to that third, you know, imagine if we had him for a 4th year,
yeah,
going
man.
Into a 4th
right.
year, like that would be big for us. But just kind of showing like the development, how it works, and the maturity of it, and the process. And he's been in the system, and he understands what we're looking for, what we're going for. He understands the level that he has to work at to compete in those type of environments. But again, just for the kid to go into the game last year, he had a wide open look. We needed it. Didn't
right.
go down. For him to get that look in the corner this year and knock it down is just – it's huge for the team. It's huge for his confidence as a player. But I just couldn't be more proud of what Chris did for us.
And, you know, Joel didn't have his best night statistically, struggled a bit shooting, you know, had to take a lot of tough shots, kind of moving across the lane to take those shots. But he hit a couple of – he had a big 3 that kind of mm-hmm. helped the Rebels get started. And he battled, you know, on both ends of the floor, oftentimes, really for the first time this year, having to guard a much bigger, stronger, more experienced guy down low.
Yeah, and Joel's been really, really good for us. And, you know, to be honest, Joel was a guy that cracked into the rotation early
mm-hmm.
because just of his desire and passion and fight and energy and motor and just wanting to compete and play. And it wasn't even about scoring for him. It was just playing hard.
Yep.
And we needed that energy. The team needed that energy. And it's just a testament that if you do the right things, you play the game the right way, the other stuff will come later. The scoring will come later. And then when you don't score, you fall back on what got you there in the first place,
mm-hmm.
which is playing hard and competing and rebounding and defending. So we're really excited for Joel, and he's been great for us.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun to watch him develop over time here at UNLV. And I don't think there's any question about his energy level and – It extends at times after the game.
Beyond.
Just ask Dave Rose, the head coach of BYU.
Yeah.
Noah, we had Noah up here after he made the game-winning shot against BYU, and we recounted to him that maybe he wasn't aware that Coach Rose had unfortunately, you know, gotten banged into by one of the Runner Rebels coming over to celebrate. And was he aware of that? And he kind of looked at us and said, it was probably Joel. and it was, and that's just – because the guy just goes and goes and goes, and
yep.
it's fun to watch. The bench, and Robert brought this up. I mean, Marvin Coleman got in early,
yep.
and I know Coach, and give Coach and the whole staff, because you guys work on substitution patterns together and you make suggestions. Part of it was the first time at any sort of altitude, and part of it was to make sure you had, you know, so you get guys rest at early on in the game. And I think that's one of the reasons Noah was able to play so well late, was that he got some rest. Yeah. But Marvin came in and did a terrific job.
Yeah, Marvin Coleman did, man. And we're excited about Marvin, too. And he's really developed. And he's been a very consistent human being and player on the court for us in practice and in the classroom. You know, I think we got him in against maybe Colorado State mm-hmm. for the first time. Yeah. But just as a little insight into that, like we go into the most hostile environment we've been in all season.
Right.
And coach goes to a freshman walk-on
yeah, yeah.
because he trusts and he believes in Marvin Coleman because of the body work that Marvin has had since, you know, he got on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Marvin's got a bright future and he really, really helped us and he brought some energy. Marvin's got good size at the point.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a really good frame. He's physical. He's got a really good IQ. And he's skilled.
Yeah.
So Marvin Coleman's going to be a really good player for us down the line.
Bryce Hamilton didn't skip a beat. I mean, he came in, and Bryce has struggled at times this year. He's having a very much
– A freshman year.
A freshman year, some up and some down. But was he solid off the bench? 12 minutes, 4 or 5 from the field, 9 points, hit a big three, a couple of really nice moves on the baseline, you know, showing flashes – of and this is a kid who is at some point and you don't know when it's gonna it probably not this year maybe
yeah
but some point sophomore mid you know year all of a sudden you're gonna go wow he's really good
mm-hmm. No I think Bryce we all know, I mean, we can all see it
yeah
I mean when he went into that Cincinnati game and we were struggling offensively for him to just to be able to create some offense instantly for us
mm-hmm.
Showed you a flash of what Bryce Hamilton's gonna be able to do. Down the line, but no, he's been a little up and down as a freshman would be. He's another guy that can learn from his teammate in Joel in terms of, you know, how hard you have to compete and what the priorities are for us as a team, and then leaning back on the scoring later because we know you can do that, right? But that's not always going to be there. Some teams may guard you like we guarded Mathis and take you out of the game. So what else are you going to do to help us win?
Right.
You know. So, but he's buying in slowly but surely, and he's becoming more consistent. Coach Brown, Coach LaFleur doing a great job with him, getting in there, watching film, encouraging him to be consistent, consistently getting reps in the gym, especially when they don't have classes right now. No, he's going to continue to grow and develop. He'll be fun for us down the line.
You know, I have a habit of looking at the bench players, you know, when the game's going on and after the game. You know, like sometimes you'll see a guy don't play much and, you know, he'll be pouting about, you know, himself. But I haven't seen that in Hamilton. If he doesn't play a lot, okay. And I'm sure deep and down inside, he probably feels he can play more. But he seems to take it as it comes, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I like about watching him and some of the other guys. They're not sitting there worried about their playing time or their individual stuff. It's more team-oriented than it is individual-based.
Yeah, and that just goes back to the character of him.
Right.
And the type of the character of the kids that we want to be able to coach and a part of our program. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I kind of imply earlier that maybe he's not consistent enough in the other areas outside of scoring.
Uh-huh.
But one thing that he is consistent in is his emotions and his temperament
right.
And his buy-in. So, no, it's good.
It's terrific. One more guy I want to talk about. Can we ask you to stay for one more segment? Do you have time to do that?
Yeah.
Nick Blair.
Yeah, how about
now,
Nick?
Now
that's my man.
It's your man because you guys grew up together. I mean, we give Nick a hard time about being the old man, but he's such a steady guy.
Yeah.
And you talk about a guy who doesn't say boo and complain ever. I mean, Nick doesn't get on the floor very much,
right.
But he's such an important part of this team in terms of the culture that's being built.
Mm-hmm.
And, he, you know, when he first got on the floor, it wasn't out of pure necessity.
Right.
But and he was playing really well. But then JTT fouls out of the game with almost 3 minutes to go.
Right. And you got to put him.
I think it was a 3-point game at that point. And all of a sudden, Nick is playing the five.
Yeah.
And he didn't back down at all. He got a huge rebound.
Big time rebound.
And you know, it was clear that he hadn't played a lot
because
there were a couple of offensive sets where the coaches were yelling, you know, repositioning him. But, man, was he a steadying influence out there, and what a clutch performance he gave.
Yeah, no, Nick Blair brings a lot of toughness. We make fun of him sometimes. He says he's got the old man game a little bit. But that's a compliment in a way, too.
That's right.
You know, he's a tough competitor. He's a tough kid. And he's got some experience. You know, he's a transfer from a Division I program. He's played at a high level out here at Gorman in Vegas.
Yep.
So just another kid that kind of gives you some insight into how much coach trusts him. And kind of the equity that he's built throughout the preseason and the non-conference to be able to go to him in that moment for him to – you know, we went to the program. I'm sure coach has talked a little bit about the program, the Navy SEAL training. And you kind of alluded to it earlier, John. You said kind of, you know, rise to the occasion. But their whole philosophy is you fall back on your training.
Right.
You know, and when you put guys in adverse situations and you put them in places where maybe they're uncomfortable, they grow and they develop and they get better. And that's what Nick and Marvin show for us. You know, we've put them in those situations and they step up and they get in that environment and they fall back on their training and they do what needs to be done.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about recruiting and about that character thing you mentioned, because that is such a huge part of what is being built here at UNLV. Hey, fans, remember that the 2019 Nissan Rogue, it's one solid defender. Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics. You're listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Throws it out top to Bragg. Trav's going to drive. Has it knocked away. Loose ball middle of the floor to Robotham. Up ahead to Clyburn. Clyburn, slam, dunk. Timeout, New Mexico. One of the great defensive plays in the Runner Rebel victory at the pit. Turning into offense. Chris Clyburn on the breakaway slam dunk from Noah Robotham. The two seniors combining 4 points in a terrific Runner Rebel victory. 80-69. Over the Lobos and Rebels with the bye this weekend and then at Air Force next Wednesday, back in the Thomas and Mack against San Jose State a week from Saturday. John Sandler, Robert Smith, Steve Cofield now joining. And Coach Preston Laird joining us. Marvin Menzies a little bit under the weather, so he's not going to make it tonight. We'll have Joel Tomboy with us here in just a little bit. But, Preston, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you're heavily involved in recruiting, and you mentioned it earlier about the character and the type of kid being brought in. And I know, you know, some fans say, I don't care, just, you know, I just want to win. And that doesn't always work. I mean, you can go out and get, you know, guys who are outstanding, skilled basketball players, but if it's not the right chemistry and if they're not the right kids, especially in a big city like Las Vegas, you could be asking for trouble over the long run. And what I noticed about the group and have noticed about this group is, and New Mexico was a perfect example, tough environment, obviously, loud, awful, you know, whatever you want to say, but the grit, that fight, that determination, the togetherness is there, and regardless of what happens this year, you know that part of the culture, because of the character, the kids that are being recruited, is being built by Marvin Menzies and you guys in the staff.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we play a team sport, right? Like this is a team thing, right? Because instinctively we all want to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves, and these players do too. So finding kids that understand that selflessness, that want to be a part of something, that is crucial for us. That's first and foremost. Like give yourself to the team. You know what I mean? Like we all have problems, we all have issues, we all have successes, but none of them, your problems, my problems, your success, Robert, none of them are more important than the team's success, right, or the team's problems, right? And it's easy to lose track of that sometimes when you get caught up in your own little world, but we emphasize that a lot. Like, you're going to be a part of this team, you know? And the second thing that we focus on is our core values. Like, we recruit to our core values, you know, in no particular order, you know, grind, toughness, consistency, sacrifice. Joel, what's our fifth one? Grind, toughness, consistency, sacrifice, trust, right? So there's our fifth one right there, trust. Good job. Ooh, good job.
He looked at the book.
I put him right on the spot. And he got it, right?
Did.
Didn't he?
Man. Good. He didn't know he was going to have to do that, right?
Trying to
so,
eat.
So,
what's going on here?
Just our process a little bit is, you know, obviously we all have connections, we all have resources, we have, you know, tentacles out and you know, internationally and nationally, but we want to figure out, you know, who could fit us, who could fit our team, who could fit our culture. We want to open the lines of communication, and we want to figure out if they, you know, we talk about character. You know, we want to see if they have those qualities in their character,
right,
built in their fiber to be a part of our team. And then the basketball take care of itself.
But I mean, you don't get a lot of time with kids. So what, you know, how do you assess that?
Sure.
For a kid that you watch play a little bit, you might have one visit, you might get an on-campus visit. You,
right,
you don't have that,
you know,
long-term relationship on which
coach,
to build it.
Coach has a lot of relationships with general managers in the NBA. And he spends a lot of time talking to them about what is your process on vetting a prospect? Because we get to talk to the prospects, right?
Yeah,
they don't get to talk to the prospects
so
much. So they're reaching out to everybody around the prospect,
right,
which we do. and we're talking to the prospect. So he kind of follows the mold of the NBA a little bit in terms of, you know, figuring out who fits us and what do we need to do to get them to be a part of our group.
Well, it's on the right path, no doubt about it. I mean, long way to go, but tremendous.
Is there also a process of sifting through on the high school level your contacts? You know, you have trusted people because they have something at stake too. If they send you someone and you know it doesn't go right, then you can always go back to them and say, "Hey, what'd you do to me here?"
Right. I think that's just based on the rapport that you have with, you know, your network as the years goes on. Yeah. And sometimes you do gotta, you know, maybe take a little risk. You know, if you've got a new contact or you've got a contact that you've had for a long time, but they've never brought a player to the table or talked to you about a player, but then you might make a mistake, but then you learn. You know?
what about if you have four coaches that go, "Hey, we got to have this kid," and then that fifth coach that's in, you know, in your program goes, "I don't know. I've heard a couple of things, you know, that maybe everybody else hasn't heard."
Yeah. But again, that's just being a part of the team.
Right.
You know, and going back to the core values of what we stand for. And that's one thing great about this staff. You know, we talk about the scouts again.
Right.
But we meet, man, and we talk and we watch film and we work through stuff. We don't always agree. But that's great, right?
Yeah, like that's what it's about.
We don't always want to agree.
No. You know? No. If you're always agreeing all the time, there's probably something wrong.
Exactly. So, but being able to have the respect level and the understanding and be able to work through stuff together is what makes a good team, man. Mm-hmm. It's what makes a good team.
I've also noticed on the character front that it's an ongoing process, too, from the coaching staff. There are moments you can see in games, and certainly that happens in practice, and I'm sure away from practice, but during games where you can see something. I won't name names, but, you know, if there's a moment where someone's disappointed, they're walking off the floor, maybe they're not showing good energy coming off the floor. I've noticed Coach Menzies say, let's get off the floor. I mean, those little things to continue to teach lessons all the time are important.
Right. So we define, you know, what's a good teammate. I'm sure Coach has talked about it on the show before, but doing your job and holding your teammates accountable. And, look, we're all human, right? We're going to get in those emotional state of mind where we make mistakes and we knee-jerk or impulse or say something we should have said. But, like, if my brother's there to pick me up or snap me out of it, you know, and he did his job and now he's holding his teammate accountable, then it just comes back to that T word, team.
That's right.
Absolutely. And I mean, we've talked about it before, especially with young guys. So much of your time as a staff is spent trying to get them to unlearn things. I mean, you know, in high school, with the talent that they, you know, that kids have, they can do things that don't fit that team mold or that aren't things that you want them to do. And they've done them for 2, 3, maybe 4 years or longer.
Or longer.
And you've got to spend a lot of time kind of unwinding all that.
Right, sure, no doubt. And again, it just goes back to those core values, man. Yeah. And what's the one that Joel said, which is trust. Yeah. You know, so, like, finding those kids that you know, like, okay, you got to unlearn some stuff a little bit, but they got to trust you enough, and hopefully you've done your research, and you know that they are going to buy in and trust what you're saying. And you got some kids on the team who got to learn a whole lot.
Exactly.
Right? But that presents its own problems, too, you know, because you have to be that much more precise in what you say to that kid.
Exactly.
Because he's going to do exactly what you tell him.
And you have to do it in small packets, because if you give him too much, the frustration build. Yep, I mean, there's a whole art and science. But,
and you know, I call it the breaking down and build up process, because you have to break them down of their bad habits and then try to build your core values and team values. You know.
But if you establish it and they're surrounded by it, then you become a product of your environment.
Exactly.
Right.
That's right.
You mentioned earlier that right now the kids don't have classes. So how is this period of time a little different in terms of a challenge to keep them focused? Because obviously without classes, you're like, it's obvious. Hey, basketball is all they got.
Right.
They're going to do a great job here. But I'm sure that's not always a guarantee.
Right. No, we – so the rules change during the winter break. When the kids aren't in classes, you can pretty much do whatever you want in terms of, you know, putting them through workouts, on-court development, off-court development, film work. You know, we have a lot of good – people in place in terms of Jason Cabo and Brian Lindell and coaches very in tune with how are their bodies, how do they feel. Like, we just had 3 games in 7 days.
Right.
But they wear the heart rate monitors in practice, so gauging their bodies. He's always on that stuff, using whatever he can to make sure they're not exerting too much and they're in tip-top shape physically and mentally to perform at the next game. But, you know, we get in extra work, whether it's film or skill development stuff.
Last question about culture, and I know you got to run. we've referred to this before, and it has to do with building a program. There is only so much you as coaches can do. At some point, the culture has to be developed in the locker room by the guys themselves, to the point where if a freshman is doing something freshman-y, mm-hmm. I just made up a word.
Freshman-y.
But
I liked it.
But if a freshman is doing something freshman-y, a junior or senior who's been in the program for 3 or 4 years can, in whatever way, whether it's publicly or pull them aside or whatever the appropriate thing is, can say, we don't do that here, or let me help you, or what, however it works.
And that's the whole idea.
It takes time mm-hmm. to develop that. And, I mean, you guys started from zero. Mm-hmm. And I can sense it's developing, mm-hmm. but my sense is also that there's a ways to go with that.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, I think Coach is just the perfect guy for this responsibility. Because I go back to our time at New Mexico State. You know, I was there with him for 4 years, and I think in 4 years we had 2 transfers out of New Mexico State. And you look at the success of New Mexico mm-hmm. State right now. Like, mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, there's a couple players left on that roster that you know, Coach Menzies recruited.
Oh, okay.
But the standard of the culture is lasting, right? Like, the kids may have moved on, but the culture standard is still there. But, like, he's just the ultimate player's coach, you know what I mean? So, like, these guys that come in and he develops mentally and physically right, and on the court. Right. And, you know, just he's just the right man.
Well, it's going to be a fun ride. We are very much looking forward to continuing to watch this culture build here with the Runner Rebels. Preston, we appreciate the time.
Thanks,
we know you
John,
got a lot to do.
Robert, Steve, appreciate you guys.
We will see you, if not before, we'll see you getting ready to head up to Colorado Springs for that annual trip to the dentist. Up there at Clune Arena. Thanks, Pat.
Right, we'll
appreciate it. Congratulations on a great job against New Mexico.
Thank you.
Hey, fans. Marvin Menzies' radio show is brought to you by Dignity Health, where they know no one wants to be in an ER waiting room for long. That's why they offer a service that allows you to wait at home, because healing takes more than medicine. It also takes understanding. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. We'll have Joel Tomboy visit with us after this. You're listening to Marvin Menzies' radio show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Mathis with 17 seconds to go. Drives, tried to buy a foul. Throws a pass that's stolen.
Over.
And the Rebels are going to win the game.
Man.
Tomboy intercepts the pass. We're under 10 to go. Noah Botham will dribble it out. And for the first time in 3 meetings, the master, Marvin Menzies, beats his apprentice, Paul Weir, and the Rebels win the game in the pit, 80-69. What a second-half performance by this Running Rebel team.
I don't know if you noticed, Robert, that was the first time I actually called it the pit. It was Dream Style Arena until the game
Dreams.
Was over.
How many times are they going to change the name
whatever,
of that place?
Whatever.
Steve can name it the next time.
There you go, yeah.
I don't know if we want to hear it, though.
John Sandler, Robert Smith, Steve Cofield with you. Marvin Menzies' radio show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. Runner Rebels 3-0 in Mountain West Conference play for the first time ever and getting ready for Air Force next week up at Clune Arena in Colorado Springs. We now bring in a young man who has taken this town and the Mountain West Conference by storm. Joel Tomboy joining us here. Just having an absolutely spectacular freshman season.
Been on fire.
Absolutely. And Joel, welcome. Thank you very much for joining us. Let's start by talking about your journey to UNLV. You grew up in Central Africa in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. How did you get... And don't say an airplane, but how did you get from home to wind up at UNLV?
It is a little bit funny, actually. You know, I was born actually in Belgium. I lived in Belgium a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Hang on 1 second. We got a little technical problem with the mic. We got to turn it on.
Joel's breaking it.
There you go.
He's breaking everything.
So say again. You were playing.
Yeah, I was born in Belgium.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, when I was 10 years old, I moved back to Congo, and then after that, I ended up deciding coming to the United States. I played 5 years of high school basketball in United States, and then after that, I think my sophomore year, Coach Menzies started recruiting me, and it was actually kind of funny. I wasn't really taking UNLV serious at first when he started recruiting
me.
And then after that, you know, growing up and stuff, you know, I heard a lot about Coach Manzi and how great of a person he is. And then after that, my junior year, you know, I started talking to my parents about going to college and stuff because I wanted to commit my junior year. And then after that, that's when Coach Manzi started, like, really calling me. But he was kind of different than any other college in the country. He was actually calling me, like, it was kind of funny, actually. Like, Coach Manzi used to call me, he's like, hey, how you doing? How was your day? You know, it was kind of different than any other college coach in the country. Like, most of the college coaches in the country, they will come and just ask you, like, yo, how many points did you score? Or, like, did you guys win? And it was kind of different, you know. He really cares about personality more than basketball, and that really made me trust him more than any other coaches in the country.
That's great. And well, obviously, we're thrilled that you're here. I've noticed that Coach tends to be kind of maybe even a little bit harder on you than he is on other guys. Have you seen that? And do you understand that he does it from the fact that you guys have a long relationship? He's known you a long time. And he truly cares about you, and he knows your potential,
right?
And he wants you to reach your potential.
Yeah, you know, he's been kind of hard on me every time. But, you know, but at the end of the day, like, I don't take stuff personal. And I know if he says something to me, that means he wants the best out of me. So I don't really take it really personal or serious.
Well, I don't know if you – in the game, at the fifth the other day, there was one play, and we won't go over what the play was, but you didn't do the right thing. And Coach, I mean, it was as angry as he's been, and it only lasted a few seconds. And you looked at him, and I think it kind of surprised you for a sec because he got on you.
Yeah.
And then you realized what was going on, and you're like, okay, I got it. And the next time the same situation came up, you did it right, and everything was fine.
Yeah, actually, I remember the play. You know, I was supposed to switch on a shooter. I think it was Matias or something.
Yeah.
And then, actually, we went through that play, actually, in the morning, through the walkthrough and stuff. And, you know, I was really confident going to the game. I knew I was gonna be on the same play, and I was going to have to guard that play, too. And then, all of a sudden, that play came so quick. And I end up switching on Matt, and he just ended up jacking at three. And then Coach Manzi just looked at me and started screaming at me. Like, wow.
The funny part, though, is when Coach gets on him and Joel doesn't look at him, he goes, look at me, look at me. Right? Am I right?
Yeah, that's true.
When the season started, frankly, we were a little surprised to see you in the starting lineup. And it was a testament, and we, you know, talked to Coach and talked to the other coaches, talked to Preston and Coach LaFleur and Coach Brown, and they all said the reason you were starting was because of how hard you worked and how hard you play. And that I think is something, if I'm mistaken, you take a lot of pride in that, right?
Yeah, I take a lot of pride on playing hard. I actually, like, coming when the season started, like, I wasn't really expecting myself to be in the starting lineup. But, you know, after our first exhibition game, Coach Manzi just told me, he's like, yo, I'm off to start you. And then I asked him, like, why? Which was kind of surprising. And he just told me, it's like, you just got to do two things. I ask you to do two things, and that's it. Rebound the ball and play hard. That's it.
Well, hey, there's a guy sitting in here tonight, and we were making up starting lineups the other about a couple of weeks ago. Guy Gene right there, he put you in the starting lineup. We all, me and the other guys were saying, no, he's not ready yet. He said, no, he should be starting. I know he can play. So, you know, go shake his hand because he believes
he's the one who put you in there.
Yeah, he put you in the starting lineup.
There was a moment this season, your first few games, you know, obviously you're still kind of feeling it out, making an adjustment, understanding, because the game is much faster, obviously, than high school. Guys are better, they're bigger, they're stronger, etc. But there was a moment when all of a sudden it seemed like the light went on and the shots started falling. And from then on, I think, was it 8 or 9 straight games with double figures?
Yep.
And the confidence has just exploded for you. Can you talk about that a little bit? I mean, how has that offense come to you so quickly?
You know, at the beginning of the season, you know, like every freshman in the country, you know, it's your first time playing at the highest level. You're kind of scared to make mistakes because, you know, as soon as you make a mistake, you're going to have to come out, like, quick. And you got to learn the system, too. But at the beginning of the season, like, I had an injury, but nobody knew about that. I was just playing, just suck it up and just play through and stuff. And then after that, you know, play. And then after that, Coach Ray just told me after a couple games, like, yo, Joel, you gotta, you know, you can play basketball. You understand the system now. You gotta start playing hard. Like, you just gotta start doing some stuff. And then after that, that really built a little bit of confidence in my game too. And that's when I just started, like, playing hard. And Coach Menzies kept on just telling me, if you make a mistake, just go back on defense, play hard, get another stop, and just next position.
I like his Coach Menzies impression. It's very gruff.
Right.
It's very
right,
gruff.
Right.
What's your favorite part on offense? So what shot do you like the most? Where are you most comfortable?
I think shooting the three. I'm really comfortable at shooting threes.
My question is, what's your favorite position? What position do you like to play?
Because you've played the three, and the four.
Yeah, you're very versatile.
You've kind of been all over the place.
Yeah, you know, it's just it's all about the game plan and stuff, and it's all about Coach Menzies and the coaching staff. Like, it hasn't really mattered to me. Like, whatever position or whatever things they ask me to do, like, I'm willing to do it. So I'm just a basketball player.
That's good.
That's terrific. We're going to take a break. You stick around for one more segment with us? Yeah, we were worried about Joel being shy. I don't think we have that problem.
No, no.
You're doing a great job. Hey, fans, Findlay Chevrolet is your home for Woo!
Man.
Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to Woo!
He works there. He works there.
Findlay Chevrolet located. It's the only time I ever make that sound. Located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads. Back with more Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
Have you turned on your heater yet this year? If you haven't, it probably won't be long. When you do, listen carefully for a moment. Does anything sound or smell different than usual? If not, you're probably in the clear. If it does, calmly pick up the phone and call the Yes Man, because that funny smell or sound probably means you have a problem. Whether you need a new heater or just service for yours, the Yes Man will get it working and keep it working. Get the number in your phone, 888-4937, or visit theyesmancan.com. License 71246.
I'm attorney Matt Hoffman with Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Do you think insurance companies want you to hire an attorney? Why do you think they hire celebrities for their commercials? Do they hire them to gain your trust? Don't be fooled. Insurance companies want to pay you as little as possible, and it's my job to maximize your recovery and make sure you don't get ripped off. If you've been injured, call me, Matt Hoffman, or Justin Watkins at Battleborn Injury Lawyers, 570-9000. That's 570-9000.
Looking for live action hoops? Catch the 10th annual Big City Showdown sponsored by Findlay Toyota. Saturday, January 19th at the South Point Arena. Get your tickets at southpointarena.com or get a pair while supplies last with any test drive at Findlay Toyota. Watch tomorrow's stars today. See Findlay Prep take on Bishop Gorman at the Big City Showdown. Saturday the 19th, game time is 2 p.m.
We'll do anything to sell you a car.
In every state in the country.
Good morning, Piston Service, Kent speaking.
And in every city and every state.
Rapid Lube, this is Jeremy. How can I help you?
You'll find a local auto shop that's probably been there for years.
Good morning, good afternoon. This is Matt, Kent speaking.
And this is Ben.
Phil, can I help you?
And in most of those shops.
Thank you for choosing All Tires, Staten Island's home for tires and service.
You'll find us.
This is Lynn. How may I help you?
Interstate Batteries are sold in over 100,000 locally owned locations across the nation. Find the one near you at interstatebatteries.com.
Take care.
Bounces the ball right side, Clyburn. Chris, a three.
It is good! Clyburn, ice in his veins. 7-point Rebel lead, under a minute to go.
Talk about ice in the vein.
That basket by Chris Clyburn, the three from the corner right in front of the Rebel bench, and, by the way, right in front of the whole New Mexico student section.
Oh, yeah.
just the dagger, the nail in the coffin that got the Rebels over the hump, and the win, the big win in the pit on Saturday. Rebels outscoring New Mexico 45-27 in that second half and coming away with the 11-point victory. John Sandler, Robert Smith, Steve Cofield, and Joel Tomboy visiting with you here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. Joel, kind enough to stick around for one more segment, having an unbelievable freshman year. Joel, from a basketball standpoint, what do you think it is that you need to work on, you know, over the next however long it's going to be, to make you the player you think you can be? What are some specific skills? Is it ball handling? Is it sort of basketball IQ, learning and understanding the game? Is it defense? What are the things that you think you need to work on?
I think at this point of the year, you just got to keep on understanding the game, because every game got different strategies and stuff. So I just got to keep on going and watch film more and more and more and just keep on improving on that.
Robert, obviously, you know, tremendous basketball career. I think one of the toughest things for freshmen is understanding the length of the season.
Right.
I mean, the Rebels are 3-0 in conference. It's great. You've got 15 more games to play
to grind
in the regular season, and it is a grind.
Yep.
What, any sort of tips for Joel on how to kind of get through that?
Well, I mean, you know, you got the classroom, you got the season, you the travel. You know, you just got to get your rest, make sure you keep up on your classes, and you know, you got a lot of people around to help you with that, but as a player, you know, he's so versatile. As long as he keeps learning the game, he's just going to grow. But, you know, getting your rest is very important.
This is a weird conference, too, in terms of travel.
It is.
I talked to you at the half at the Pit, and I was asking you, Robert, you know, what was it like the first time you played there? And you're like, I thought I was going to die.
Man, I mean, it was so loud in there, and that's what I was going to ask him. Have you ever been in an arena that loud to play a game? Because I know for me the first time I got there, I had to deal with being tired because of the altitude. And then, you know, I'm trying to call out plays, and my teammates are looking at me like, what are you saying? They couldn't hear me. And I, for about 3 or 4 days afterwards, my ears were ringing because it was so loud in there. So that's what I want to ask you. Had you ever been in an arena that loud that, you know, when you're out there playing, you got to deal with the fatigue and deal with the noise?
Actually, I've never played. That was actually my first time playing in that kind of atmosphere and stuff. And it was actually hard. You know, sometimes you couldn't hear the plays and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, our point guard, like Noah, did a really great job on talking. Like, we really communicate really better than any other game we ever play, and that really helped us a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I got good news and bad news for you. The good news is the next game at Air Force, it's going to be pretty quiet. So you won't have any problem hearing. You'll probably hear Robert and me and Steve talking on the radio during the game.
While you're sitting next to us.
The bad news, it's another 2,000 feet higher up than Albuquerque. Yeah. So, you know, get ready for that. But, Joel, we want to thank you for being with us. Congratulations on what has been a spectacular start to your UNLV career. And I know these fans and all of us are really excited to watch you play as a runner.
Thank you so much.
As time goes along. Merci beaucoup. A bientôt.
Très bien.
We're going to take a break, come back with some final thoughts from the three of us. Fans, remember there's so many ways to be satisfied at the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Experience Bailiwick, All-American Pub and Eatery. Food and fun, it's what they do. Savor the latest and greatest variety of flavors at the Orleans. Back with our final segment after this. You're listening to Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. All right, back here at Bailiwick, John Sandler, Robert Smith, Steve Cofield, final segment. Steve, I wanted to get your impressions on one thing. I mean, big victory, one of the biggest and great victory for the program, for Coach Menzies, for the kids, but it's one game. 15 more to go. They're 3-0. The meat of the schedule is very much coming. And you know with this young team, it's still going to be up and down it for a while.
Of course. Hey, it's so important to file it away almost immediately. I mean, use the positives to build on, but move on to the next challenge. And that's really why it's a game-by-game deal. And college basketball is so up and down.
You
see it. Go on the road is really difficult. And these next two games, hey, on paper, Air Force is not a great team. San Jose State is not a great team. But if you let down for 8 minutes, you get off to a bad start at the beginning of the game. You lose your focus for 5 minutes. You don't make the hustle plays. There were so many hustle plays in this game against New Mexico. They don't make them. They don't win the game. You know,
that's right.
Joel going on the floor and getting a loose ball and setting up Noah for a two-pointer to push it. I think at that point it was 64-61.
Yep.
That goes the other way. All of a sudden it's a tie game. So you lose your focus. You know, you can lose games against teams that you should beat.
And Air Force is a perfect example. Robert, you and I have been up there a ton.
Too many times.
Those guys, I mean, they may not have all the talent in the world, but they're not going to quit.
Well,
they are going to battle you.
Right, and with this team, just adjusting to the different styles. That's going to be tough.
I remember last year in terms of overlooking a player on the floor, Ryan Swan gave them a ton of trouble.
Yep.
And he's a big, he's kind of portly at 6'7", and it's like, hey, he's not going to do anything. And he carved him up. And if you don't defend the three and also the back door, all of a sudden Air Force is in the game.
Yep.
That game is Wednesday night. We'll have all the action for you starting at 7:30, another late one. 7:30 Las Vegas time, 8 o'clock with the tip from Clune Arena. We're back here in a week. We'll see if the Rebels can be 4-0 by that time. I want to thank all these great people for coming out. We'll talk to you Wednesday from Air Force. Thanks to Jared, Chris, Joel, Preston, Robert, Steve. This is John saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you from Air Force next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.
live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. You've been listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenway Toyota. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.